dominating the very soul and essence of mind, and it takes courage to live in this world. It takes dedication and courage and commitment to stand up for what's right, because there's so much wrong. And the world is it's just like a giant tidal wave sweeping up the people and catching up the people, and if you're not careful, you'll be caught up in it, running to the excess and the rioting and the banqueting and the lovers of pleasure and things that we talked about in part one. So, but let's understand how we're gonna fight. Now, you're a soldier. You took on the responsibility when you signed up. When you said, "Well, I'm a child of God. Glory to God." Well, if you are your soldier, you say, "Well, no, I don't believe in fighting." Well, the Bible says for you to fight the good fight of faith. It also says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, where we're going to base a little bit of our gestalt tonight, that we wrestle not. This is 6 and 12, and it's a familiar scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you say, "I didn't know that you're living." You go out and you don't see the sky dark, except if there's a rainstorm and that'll pass. But I don't care how blue the sky is, there is spiritual darkness. And man shall not prevail against this spiritual darkness with a mind that is not made up and determined, that it will never look back, that it will never turn back to the tidal wave of religion. You know, there's a mainstream religion, and if you're not in that, you're outside. But that's what the Father told us. He said, "You're not going to wrestle against the narrow way. It's the broad way. It's the appealing way. Principalities and powers and rulers of darkness are really our enemies. And our mind, that's where Satan works. He gets right in your mind. He sits right up on your shoulder. He goes to talking to you. You know, you don't have to be so fanatical. You know, you didn't have to bring up that subject where you made so-and-so mad. You didn't really have to witness. You don't have to do that. Why don't you just shut up? No, you just pour throw a wet blanket over the fire. And now everybody don't like you. You're an insult. I have been told those things. Why do you want to stir up trouble for? Why do you open your mouth? Why don't you just be quiet? You know, the Bible said if these hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Did you know that the mind is screaming? If you got the mind of the Messiah, if you got the mind of the anointed one, the risen one, the powerful one, who withstood, now I'm going to show you how he withstood with the armor. He had on the armor. He fasted for 40 days, and then he was involved in the greatest pressure cooker experience that anyone on the planet's ever experienced. Satan doubled the dose. You think he'd give Job a hard time? You know, you just have to read about the encounters of the Messiah. And the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that was in him." You say, "Well, if I had to act like him, man, everybody'd think I've gone crazy." Well, I said last night that that's the only way that you're going to stand is to be crazy enough to stand. You're going to be crazy enough to open your mouth. You see, there's value in witnessing. You might save somebody's life, even those that oppose themselves. They ain't got enough wisdom or knowledge, or they haven't got enough horse sense, as we call it here in the South, to save themselves. So you step in, and the Bible said, hating even the garment that they wear that's spotted by the flesh. But to pull them out of the fire, they're headed for the fire. And so you just reach up in this giant tidal wave that is sweeping across the nation to wipe your mind clean of the spirit and to fill your mind with the carnal purposes. And this war, ladies and gentlemen, is a war of power. powers and principalities. I'm telling you, this is powerful. Rulers of darkness. You know, your mind will, all of a sudden, it's just like a sewer. Somebody opens up the valve and turns it, opens a spigot, and out of your mind comes corrupt, evil, foul, even thoughts. The Bible said even the thoughts of foolishness are sin. And how do you turn that off? How do you get that spigot to turn off? How do you get Satan to back off? Well, let's look at it this way. Most often that with these evil spirits, these powers of darkness, they're real. I mean, they're planning and plotting. You may be going down the road, skip the loom, darling, and thinking everything is fine and dandy, and you're just whistling Dixie, and you don't know that you're about to encounter the greatest battle of struggle and survival of your life, because when you would do good, get that sound mind, get that determination, get that grit. Don't be a wimp. A spiritual wimp will never make it into the kingdom. He that looks back will never make it into the kingdom. He that, I've felt so alone. Well, what do you think about your Messiah? Did he feel alone? Yes, he had troubles. He had trials, and nobody liked him. He was like the square peg trying to fit in the round hole of the world. He just didn't fit in. Don't forget that Satan was a beautiful angel and works in beautiful people or influential people or the people that you like to be around. I'm telling you, these fleshly people have a lure about them. And if you don't watch it, the devil, through them, will bring so much deception into you that he'll say, oh, see, now you're having the time of your life. Don't forget that his deceptions can be clothed, really, with very nice apparel. He's attractive. But under the garments, you'll find the sin and darkness and blackness and spiritual wickedness of the principalities and powers that rule in this world to try to break you. See, the enemy is Satan, and his job is, and let me tell you something, he signed on. He said, I'll tempt them. I'll make them turn back. I'll make them wish they'd never confessed you. I'll give them such a hard time that they'll think that the whole world hates them. Well, listen to the scripture. Marvel not if the world hates you. What do you expect, a picnic? Are you headed down in the woods like Little Red Riding Hood? Skippy Malua, and you're on a Skippy Lou picnic journey. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Every step you take, you better pray. All that you do, do it all in the name of Yahweh, and the apparel of the attractive systems of the world, or the religions of the world, or the man-made dogmas that seem so appealing and so logical. I can go into church and I can have everybody fighting in 5 minutes. These other evangelists, they can go in and have everybody shouting. You say, well, it's obvious which one's right. My God. I mean, if trouble follows you, and you get everybody a fighting and arguing against each other, or towards you, or towards someone else, you know you can't be right. Look at it. This evangelist come in, and we had such a wonderful meeting. Every Sister Sally started shouting. That just brought the house down. We had 15 saved in that meeting, and we just can't wait for him to come back. But we don't want you back. Don't you ever come back here in that name. Don't worry. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the entire purpose of this war of the mind. No wonder we're losing our mind. No wonder that we've been turned over to a reprobated mind. No wonder the world is in a carnal, lust-desired, eat, drink, and be merry attitude. No wonder that deception and lies goes over better than the truth. It's always been that way. The purpose of this war is to really crush and defeat and destroy your enemy. And that's the purpose of Satan. He would like to do that to you. He'll kill as many as he can. He will destroy as many as he can. He will cause you to get stressed like he did Job. And Job had to sit down and reevaluate where he stood. Everything was ripped away. All of his treasures, all of his children, all of his family, everything just went to hell in a handbasket. Have you ever felt like your life is going to hell in a handbasket? And Satan is skipping in down the path of destruction, and you can't stop him? Listen to this. Verse 14. Having on the breastplate of the armors, that the Bible says, for you to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. That's what they don't like, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they can't receive your mind. Because if you've got a mind of truth and you're full of the truth and you know the truth and the truth has made you free, or where you go, where these others are bound up in a carnal attitude. You see, the devil wants everything to be nice and rosy and look good. He wants superficial. He wants you to go to church and act like you had a good time, whether you did or not. He wants you to be hypocritical. He wants you to lie. He wants you to steal. He wants you to kill. You see, you can do that if you seek to run with a pack or run with a herd. You've got to come out of the herd and stand with the truth to crush the enemy of your mind. It's your own mind. The war is in you. You can't change the world situation. It's the way it is. And it's the way the Father wants it. Accept things as they are. Daniel, when he went to Babylon, he didn't try to rebel and get out of Babylon. The Father put a gold chain around his neck with his wisdom, and he sat right in the center of Babylon, and he prospered right in the mouth of the enemy. He didn't quit praying. He didn't quit fasting. I can read where he fasted and prayed. What about your mind? No wonder it's weak. No wonder you're undone. No wonder that you're stressed. No wonder you feel like you're in a pressure cooker. Simply because you will not turn over your mind, your soul, and your strength to the Father to serve Him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the purpose of Satan is to crush you even when you try. I know it's going to be so hard. Pastor Buddy, you didn't tell me. I've had so many people come and cry and moan. Well, yeah, I got baptized and she left me. We just had a divorce and she said if I was going to get in that old foolishness that she was leaving. Satan, crushing your mind through the weakness. If you love a woman more than you love Yahweh, you're not worthy of Yahweh, and He knows your heart. He knows you're lonely, but Satan knows you're lonely. And Satan will send you somebody to get you unlonely. At least you think you are. But you'll get in more. I've seen these women take men and twist them like a twist tobacco that we used to call the red ox. Tobacco. We used to chew that red ox tobacco as a big twist. And how that they would take the tobacco leaves and twist them up good and tight. That's the way Satan is desired to sift you like wheat, because the Bible said he's not a lion, but he is as a roaring lion. He's a paper image. He's not real. He's a figment of your imagination. imagination and he works in your mind, he's only as strong as you will let him be through your mind. And if you will give over to the carnal desires of the flesh, you're not worthy of Yahweh. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you ain't fit for the kingdom. You stand up and Yahweh will give you the desires of your heart. You resist the devil and the devil will be crushed right in the middle of this pressure cooker. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I heard a little voice say, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. No, I won't. Oh, I'm gonna praise him night and day. I'm gonna finally hear him say, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. That's what Satan would like to do, turn you around. Get you headed out of town. Get you out of the kingdom. He's lonesome. He needs your company. He wants you to be miserable and unholy and unthankful like him. Stand up for having your loins girt about with the truth. The truth is what the devil hates. And yeah, the devil's got some pretty people. They're opposed to the truth. They don't stand for the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I would not for one minute give in to anybody that would not have the truth. I would resist them to the day I die. I would rebuke them. I would exhort those who stand for the truth. I would encourage them to hold on, to look up, to not faint, to not be weary in well-doing, because in all these things we're more than conquerors, and we have the battle in the mind. And if Yahweh is in your mind and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you've got a mind to overcome the devil, and I guarantee you, the only thing you're going to forget is the devil. Get out of my way, devil. Get out of my way. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan is a liar and the father of it. Yahweh is the truth and the father of that. And you've got to decide which one you want. You can't have two or three fathers. You can't have two or three gods. Did you know what the Bible says? It says that he that believeth in one Yahweh, he believes well. And we got these, oh, I believe in the Trinity. You believe in the Trinity of what? Well, I believe in God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know, that's a bunch of logic nonsense. It's illogical to believe that there's three beings sitting on the throne. Did you know the Bible is very plain? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and you want to stand and tell me that that wasn't really Him? I know what's wrong with you. You got a perverted carnal mind. Just because you got a mommy and daddy, you see two of them, and you're the third one. It's not like that. You say, well, was there a father, Pastor Buddy? Well, yes, he was. Well, you know the father is a person. Well, where do you read that at? The father was not a person; he was a spirit. But the Father, who was a spirit, became a person. Now, what's so hard about that? Well, you see, that's 1.3, glory to God. And these three are as one. Just the other day I had a person when I quoted that scripture. Oh, no, I don't say it. It said they're as one. I said, I beg your pardon. They are one. And that's what got the Messiah in trouble in John 10:30. Read it for yourself, 10:33. And when the Messiah said, I and my Father are one, then the Jews, these are the purpose of the enemies to crush you, like they tried to crush him. When they put him to death, but he rose again, and by rising again, he proved to them who he was. He was a mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And don't you think for one minute that the world does know him, because it don't. And because you do, and you're a minority, you say, well, maybe I could be wrong. Let me reexamine this. Yahweh said, oh, how long would I suffer you? Philip said,
show us the Father. We'd like to see him. Bruce, yet we ain't seen him.
Why, he said, Philip, have you been so long with me, John 14:9, have you been so long with me and yet you don't know who I am? When you see me, you see the Father. The Father became a person. And he's got wounds in his hands to prove it, and he's going to bring those same wounds that he was here with 2,000 years ago. He's going to bring those same wounds that he was wounded in the house of his friends, where they seen him wounded. Thomas said, I won't believe that he got up until I can see the wounds. 8 days later, the Messiah appeared to him, and the door being shut, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, Thomas, old doubting Thomas, that mind has been corrupted. I've just been gone 8 days, and you are now doubting. Come here and fill on me. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. What's so hard about that, ladies and gentlemen? If he was Thomas's Lord and God, is he not yours?
Oh, no, I've got another one up there, Pastor Buddy.
I say, what's his name?
God, Lord, whoever.
Jesus, Jehovah. You know, the world has become, it's a wrestling match with these spirits of unbelief that they come and they attack your very stand. And, you know, if you're armed with a sword, bless God, you can get rid of the devil. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will either drive you or draw you. Stand fast, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, it'd be nice, you know, when you're standing for right. That's what that means, to stand for what's right. The truth is right, and you get the breastplate on of righteousness, and you stand for what's right, and they come with what's wrong, and they try to persuade you, because there's more of them than there is you. Why don't you just come on over here with us? You know you're an occult. You know that somebody's worked on you. You know that they're fixing to give you a cup of Kool-Aid. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of this. The only thing that Yahweh's prophet will give you is a cup of truth. And he'll back it up with 1,000 scriptures that he don't have to hunt and search and scratch around like a chicken out in a barnyard trying to find a hot worm on a rock. Yahweh's ministers are armed and dangerous. They will cut your heart plumb out of your body, and they will realign it with the truth, and they'll insert it back in your chest and expect you to stand up and be a man or a woman and take the truth of righteousness in the breastplate. And Paul, when he compared our armor, he said, Paul was familiar with the Romans. Let me show you something about the Romans. The Romans wore armor. It was like a girdle that held the entire uniform together and kept it in place. Our loins are the center of our physical being, and Paul is reminding us to guard our center with the truth, and that truth is what holds all of our concepts and our equipment together, and truth is the core of our faith. If we compromise our truth, where are we? If we don't draw a line in the sand and say, hey, I ain't coming over there, you say, oh, come on over here. See, they try to get you to come over on their side because there's more of them. You know, I've got used to gathering up with a few people. I feel just as at home with 10, 15, 20 people. Man, you won't believe this. You can ask my wife. I've stood and preached some of the hardest messages that I ever preached in my life when it was only 2 or 3 there to listen to me. I mean, I was running, jumping, and shouting, and praising, and stomping my foot, and hanging on with a breastplate of righteousness, and having my loins girt about with the truth, and my heart right in the center. You see, the Roman armor, it protected that heart. It's out of the heart that Satan works. Out of the heart comes deceit, deception. Out of the heart comes lust. Out of the heart comes envy. Out of the heart comes doubt. Oh, why for did you doubt, Peter? And a rooster crowed, cock-a-doodle-doo. and he hung his head, knowing that he had failed miserably because he'd exposed his heart to Satan. And the Messiah already told him, he said, Satan is going to try to sift you, Peter, like wheat. And he had the cock a-crowing and Peter a-crying. And I don't expect the cock to crow till the cows come home. Praise Yahweh. I'm standing on the foundation of truth. I want you to stand on the foundation. You tell the devil to take a trip. To get out of your life. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written. The armor that wraps around our heart is the armor of righteousness, the breastplate. And in that, the center of the protection is actually the core of truth. The breastplate was a metal shield, and it strapped on and guarded the soldier's chest. And within his chest is the heart. And when our heart stops beating, we die. Have the heartbeat of Yahweh, and you'll never die. Oh, my. Man, I ain't got nothing to fear. I've got Yahweh. When fear knocked, faith opened, and there was nobody standing there to oppose me. Ladies and gentlemen, get your faith girded up, get on the breastplate, put your heart in the right place, sacrifice, give, pray, fast, read the Bible. You see, our problem is we don't take the word. You know what we need? Let me give you this one here. Verse 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Now, having your feet shod, in other words, if the word's in your heart, it'll tell you your feet where to go. You understand what I'm talking about? It will lead you into all truth. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth. Your feet being shod with the preparation of gospel, Paul was prepared to tell us that the gospel, to hang on to the gospel and to run the race and spread the good news. I don't care how much people hate it. I don't care how much they deny it. I don't care how much their tradition gets in the way. The truth will stand, and all I got to do is step up in the pulpit and open the Bible. And I can cause the biggest uproar in 99% of the churches of this world just by simply opening the Bible and never getting out of that Bible. Just staying right in there, word for word, line for line, precept for precept. And they will attack you and call you names, just like they did the Messiah, just like they did Paul, just like they did Peter, above all taking the shield or the shod, the feet of your preparation. Get them feet set in and ready to do the walking. Yahweh covered our feet to give us the ability to travel the long distances that it's going to take for us to make it. You know, shoes are an important part of the armor. If an army can't stand from the wounds to its feet, it can scarcely do battle. Satan would love for us to have wounds to our spiritual feet, where we can't walk into the truth, where we can't pursue the truth, where we can't run like a hungry deer, a thirsty deer for the brook. Oh my. I used to read that back when I was fasting praying. I'd read that scripture, and oh my, I'd just lay down and think about it. Oh, that panting deer. My heart longs for you, Yahweh, like the panting deer for the water brook that's being chased by the hounds of hell. When you're attacked, take that shield of faith, verse 16. Take that shield of faith, wherein you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, a shield is a movable, defensive tool. Be in position if the devil wounds you and the devil has got you down, make sure that your feet can carry you out of the battle till you will heal up. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I've had so many darts and so many disappointments and so many
people that turned against me or I thought was my friends. And it wounded my spirit, and I'd go off and sulk and cry and moan. And finally, Yahweh would just patiently wait. You ever note how much patience he's got? Here I am, Lord, I'm only once left now. They've all turned against me, and they've all rejected me, and I don't know what to do now, Lord. I've done my best.
Ladies and gentlemen, when you do all to stand, stand. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You may be branded crazy when you try to spread the gospel, when you walk up to a group and you know that they hate you. Do you know that they hate you for his name? They use other names. They use these other sweet names that become so traditional. And then when you prove that that name don't exist, didn't exist at the time that the original scripture was written, they'll get mad at you. When you try to provoke them to study, they don't want to study. They're lazy. They're steeped in their tradition, and the Bible said full well they reject the commandments of Yahweh to keep their own tradition. Take the shield of faith, where you're able to quench the fiery darts. You know what these darts are? Your friends. That's the fiery darts. That's where it hurts. Where your wife won't go with you when you walk this route. Where your husband won't go with you when you walk this route. When your children won't come along with you. When they cast your name out as evil. And when they tell everybody in the community you've gone crazy. I've had that told about me when I was fasting, praying, and just getting in the faith. Oh, he's gone crazy. Have you heard about Pastor Buddy? He's gone crazy. He's lost his mind. That's right. I lost it. I admit it. But I found one that I'd never had before. That's the spiritual mind. I lost that old carnal mind that used to go along with the world. It used to go along with the tradition. I used to sit in a Baptist church and huff and puff. And used to get in the Pentecostal church and run the aisles and swing on the altar, rafters, and jump across the altar, speak in tongues and gibber and jabber, clibber and clabber. Ladies and gentlemen, all of that is bodily exercise and it profits little. But the truth, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see that? Now, what's a sword for? It's not only for offense, it's for defense. When Satan comes, you can defend yourself, and when you're on attack, you can chase the devil with the Word. I don't want to seem like I'm boasting here, but I have never got into a church-related argument or a discussion that I ever had to back off and say, well, I don't know, I ain't never read that. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil will throw some darts at you, and he'll pull a rabbit out of the hat if you'll let him. But if you know what the Word says, if you don't have to flip the page, if you don't have to go and say, let me go check that out and run. I've seen people get concordances and dictionaries and commentaries, and I'm enough to fill a truck up to try to prove their point. Ladies and gentlemen, if you speak not according to this Word, there's no light in you. Oh, my. Take that helmet of salvation. It's the Word of God. One of Satan's most powerful weapons is deception. To deceive. He's got to get to your mind. See that? He's got to get you out of that spiritual stand. He's got to discourage you. He's got to get you back into the carnal mind. He's got to deceive you. But the Bible says that your helmet is your salvation. Would you take off your armor for your head and let him get into your mind and work on your head? You've been bought with a price. Nothing. Paul said, nothing can take this away from me. I've been bought with a price. I'm a child of the King. As long as you keep your helmet of salvation, the enemy will never, never, and I'm going to say never defeat you. So guard your mind. Don't let the lies of the enemy or the beauty. You know, Delilah, she got into Samson's mind. And by getting into his mind, she cut his power out of his life. Do not let anything, whether it be two-legged, four-legged, or six-legged, or whatever, do not let nothing come into your force field. Repel it with the helmet and the sword and the armor and the shield of faith, where you can quench those darts. Oh my, I feel the Holy Spirit. Stand up. Be accountable. Yeah, take that sword. You repel the attack of Satan with the sword. That's the way the Messiah got it done. When Satan came around, he quoted him a scripture. You know what the Messiah did? He quoted him one right back. You might run on somebody who can quote a scripture, but you better be able to quote one right back.
Well, I believe that the Bible says so, the glory of God.
Well, say, give me a verse in scripture.
Well, I can't read it in the Bible, but that's the way I believe it, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, go ahead and stick to it. I can read where they used the appointed signs and seasons in the heaven. That's what I'm sticking to. And I'm following the example that on the new moon, you blow the trumpet. You have a sacred assembly. That's what the Bible said. I don't have to guess about it. I take the sword, and it cuts when they can't prove their doctrine. Using all of these metaphors that I've used here about the quality of the armor. You see, your protection is no better than the quality of the armor. If you put Yahweh on, he's the armor. You put that man on, that hidden man of the heart. That's your force field. You think Satan could handle him? He's as a lion going up against the lion. The Messiah is the lion. And Satan is as a roaring lion. He'd like to make you think that, but he's all bark and no bite, ladies and gentlemen. When you really get down to it, he's a liar and he's a deceiver. And he will kill you, he'll steal you, he'll hurry you, he'll worry you, and he'll bury you if you give over to the devil. Why are we so disrupted in our mind? Because we don't have a mind of Yahweh. And the more you study about Yahweh and the more you get him in your mind, the more the world thinks you're crazy. You're so odd and you're so peculiar. The Bible said you are a peculiar people. Now, I've got to give you this one. This is so good. Isaiah 54, verse 14 and 15. In righteousness he shall establish me. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Isaiah 61:3. I will give you the beauty for ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy for the morning. I will give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I will give you power to the weak. And to those that have no might, I will increase your strength. Oh, hallelujah. Those who wait upon Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 29 and 31. My, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my. I will give you power when you're weak. Paul said, Father, get rid of this thorn in my flesh. sins, according to First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in John 8:36, therefore if the Son make you free, you're free indeed. You know who the Son is? Have you ever been introduced to him? You know what his name is? He's the Father from heaven that became a flesh man. And now the whole Godhead, not a part of it, not one third of it, but the whole part of that Godhead dwells in him bodily and forcefully. And if you will believe that, and if you will stand for that, you will stand for the righteousness of the truth, and he'll give you power when you're weak. And when you have no might, he'll give you strength. And if you'll wait upon Yahweh, he will renew your strength. And you shall mount up with the wings like an eagle. And you shall run and not be weary in the presence of the devil. You shall kick him to hell and back. Because he said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Not just a part. I'll give you power over all of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Man, if you can't get that confident, if you can't stand up against the devil and take the heat, you might as well get out of the kitchen. You arm yourself with those scriptures and you stand on that word and you say, Father, I believe that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you come to heal the brokenhearted and bind the wounds. I thank you that you gave me strength and you gave me hope and beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. Yahweh, I want you to heal me from all the past abuse and the ignorance that I've had, because I've been destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But now I turn my whole heart and soul and mind over to you, Father. I am a new creature in you, and I have the power to witness for you and your blessed name. I don't care if the world hates me. I don't care if I never see another pleasant day on the earth. I don't care where anybody ever smiles at me anymore. I will not be weary. I shall run and I shall not faint. Because Yahweh gives me strength. Because I wait upon him. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to spend a lot of time. And a lot of that's lonely too. I spend a lot of lonely hours laying in these hills here of East Tennessee, where I've been for the last 70 plus years. And I'm going to lay here in these hills and these valleys, and I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to put on the armor, and I'm going to put on the helmet and the salvation. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to stand up and become free. I'm going to mount up with the wings of an eagle. I'm going to say, I can do all things through the Messiah that strengthens me when I am weak. And then you'll hear a little voice behind you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler of many. Yeah, I saw them when they laughed at you. I saw them when they made all manners of fun about you for keeping my Sabbath and glorifying my name and keeping my commandments. I saw the hurt in your heart when your friends walked away. And I counted the tears that fell from your eyes when they separated themselves from you for my name's sake. Count it all joy when they shall separate you for my name. Matthew 10:22. Whew. Hallelujah. Man, it's wonderful to have the mind of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. For I shall run and not be weary, and I shall walk through the valley and not faint. I shall mount up with the increase of the strength of the mighty God of Jacob, who shall never leave me and never forsake me, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He's going to give me beauty for ashes. Have you ever fasted and prayed and put ashes on your head? Have you ever really done it? You said, well, no, I've never done that, Pastor Buddy. Well, I've done it. I read in the Bible where that they would put ashes on their head and and just sit and pray and fast. And I've done that. They say, I'll give you beauty. It ain't too beautiful to have a head full of ashes rubbed on you, and them wet and oily. They said, I'll give you beauty for ashes. I'll give you joy. Oh, oh my. I'll give you joy, oil. I'll give you the garment of praise, and I will take away that spirit of heaviness. And the rest of these world, they're not confident. No wonder they don't want to come up against you in a debate. You can challenge them to a debate, and they'll run like a bunch of turkeys. Matter of fact, they remind me of a bunch of wobbling turkeys when they run from me. They'll see that you're called by my name, and they'll be afraid of you. Deuteronomy 28 and 10. You better read that one, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. My message is over with tonight, and this is a part two of A Sound Mind. And we started off part one, and we talked about Alzheimer's. And there's a lot of spiritual Alzheimer's. There's a lot of natural. I don't know where he comes from. But I do know that most of the people in the world have forgotten the Father. They've forsaken him. And they went after Baal. They went after the pagan ways. Oh, yeah, they eat, drink, and they're married. But it happens to them suddenly. It comes upon them. They don't know where they're at. They don't know what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be tested, and you're going to be tried, and the devil is going to come against you 99 ways out of 100. But so what? See, I'm a soldier in the army of Yahweh. If you love me tonight for this message, why don't you call me? Area code 423-626. I'm live here tonight on a Tuesday night. It's a little late on the Eastern Coast, but praise Yahweh. We're up and we're at it, and I feel the Holy Ghost right here in the midnight hour. Praise Yahweh. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, again, that's area code 423-626-2172. You know one of the seven things that God hates? One of the first things he hates, he said, is a brother that sows discord. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stick together. I'm talking about the people in the truth. If you got the truth, you need to get the hell out. If you've got it, you need to stand up like a man and be counted. Or a woman and be counted. Stand shoulder to shoulder. You see, the Romans did not equip the Roman soldiers with any armor on the back. They all had it to the chest to protect the heart when they faced the enemy. They didn't have anything but a garment, a thin garment, to tie the armor plate on the front of their body. And on the back, when they turned their back, it was completely armorless. You know why? They didn't expect their soldiers to turn their back and flee from the enemy. That's why they didn't put any armor back there. And there's no armor back there for you to turn and run away. The armor's up front. Put your grit and determination and dress up and be a man or a woman. Stand tooth to tooth and toe to toe and eye to eye, and let your word be your bond, even to your death. And Yahweh will receive you in the glory. You can write me tonight, area code or post office box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's area code 423-626-2172 for the telephone number. The address, the mailing address, is Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Post office box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And I'm sponsored tonight by my good friend down in the great state of Mississippi, Brother Mark. Brought you this message tonight. And I'm so grateful and so thankful that men and women of sound mind and good judgment cares enough to send the very best. They send their love, they send their tithe. They support me, they love me, they encourage me, they'll do anything for me. Men and women out of our faith here, they just go out of their way to help me and to support me and hold up my hands. And I feel like that's reciprocal, that I must defend them and their faith very strongly. I love our people. I would lay down my life gladly like a Messiah. And if you're not willing to die, you can't serve him. If you're a coward and you want to turn your armor around and put it on your back and run like a wild turkey, that's what you are, just a turkey. But if you want to be the eagle kind, you attack and you face the enemy and you mount up with the wings of an eagle. Praise Yahweh. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I just love you tonight, and I praise the Father for you, and I appreciate you around the country and around the world for that matter, and all the cards and all the letters and all the encouragement that I get you and I receive from you. And it just makes me feel so good. It just makes me feel so good. Praise Yahweh. And we love you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Are you willing to go to the mountain? Are you willing to open up your heart with covered with armor? Are you willing to stand with a few brothers and sisters that have made their attempt to stand? We're in troubled times. A mind will be a troubled thing to lose. But unless you lose your carnal mind, you ain't going to make it in. You got to give it up. You might be lonely, but you can get acquainted with a man that was lonely and had no place to lay his head. Oh yeah, it was a trouble.
Only you.
Only you could know the pain, ladies and gentlemen. You're no stranger to the rain. You're going to have a lot of rainy days on your parade. But let it be assured that Satan, your enemy, is going to try to rain on your parade. And when he rains, you just get the faith umbrella out, put it up, and keep on trucking. Praise Yahweh. I love you tonight very much, and I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Here in the East, it'll be 9 Central down that way. I'll see you tomorrow night, and I love you very much. Yahweh bless you.